Okay, we have a nice set of questions from the analysts. The first one is coming from Arthur Sitbon from Morgan Stanley. Welcome, Arthur, and all the best for Carolina. The first question is related to the guidance. Could you please help us understanding the increase in 2019 net income growth guidance? How much of the increase would you estimate is due to the one-off of LNG supply agreements? And could you give more details on the other drivers of the increase, cost saving, capacity in H2?
So as I was mentioning, the first thing, this LNG has been mostly used for another efficiency measure we have already taken during the first half of the year, which is going to make already some provision, which is going to deliver result in the second half and the following years as well. I think mostly has been already just an early retirement in certain of our countries. Which are the main drivers? I think clearly I was trying to explain. The first one is the increase in our production, a consequence of the next new 4,000 megawatts of installed power in the second half, plus the 1.2 which has been already making during the first part. The second one is certain action which is going to be taken in the United States in terms of efficiencies, following with Mexico and other countries as well. And the new capacity which is going to be established as well, I think together with that one is going to be in Mexico, it's going to be in the United States, and it's going to, as well is going to start the production of more than half of the offshore wind farm of East Anglia. So altogether is what makes ourselves to be confident that even last year we have already very good result in the second half of the year, this year we are going even to have even better result than those which were extraordinarily good during the last year. And that makes altogether make ourselves to be confident that these numbers of the this low two-digit growth can be already achieved. As I was mentioning, without contemplating the potential extraordinary capital gains we can have, which mostly, as I mentioned, will be applied, as we did in the past, for future improvement of our result, introducing efficiencies and improving things in our balance sheet or in our P&L.
The next couple of set of questions comes from Stefano Bezzato, Credit Suisse, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, and Mickey Becker from Bernstein, and is related to the looking forward statements. Does the improvement in 2019 net income targets imply any change to your guidance for future years? And additionally, considering the normalization in hydro, new capacity, and positive pricing evolution, can we see again double-digit growth in 2020, both at EBITDA and net income levels?
So, as I was mentioned, I think we are seeing a lot of potential opportunities. We have already all our development machine at full speed, and I think they are already, as I mentioned in the last presentations, our plans in several countries is to accelerate our construction plan for the arena plan of 13,000 megawatts by 2022. Probably that is going to increase. We will announce that in the next investor day, but I think for the time being, the thing which I can tell you is we are seeing quite a lot of opportunities. We are accelerating the construction, trying to put in that front as much of these 13,000 megawatts as soon as possible, and that gave already just opportunities for building another ones in the future. So I think please give us some time, and I'm sure that in the next Investor Day by February next year, we will have give more details about what is going to be our situation in the following years. But I think for the time being, we are accelerating. The word is accelerating construction and trying to take a profit of the existing opportunities in most of the countries and the areas where we have our activities.
Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, and Mike Becker, Bernstein are asking both about the CNMC proposal. Can you detail your constructive criticism to the CNMC on how to improve remuneration system for electricity distribution? Which is the clawback impact that you should expect in 2020 to 2025? Clawback is the reduction of revenues.
So, the first thing I was already. I'm the CEO. We've been more in job in this country for many years. So, and I think I was already suffering a continuous uncertainty in the regulation. So I think I tried to be positive, because it's the first time they are seeing the things which has been made in a very rational manner. So I think the fact that the Spain has already fulfilled the European directives of climatic change, the fact that Spain has already presented an energy and climatic change plan has been very much appreciated by European authorities for its ambitions and with a clarity, transparency. The fact that the powers has been withdrawn to the regulator, the independent regulator. The fact the independent regulator has already defined a RAB for the remuneration of the activities. The fact that the regulator is defining a WACC for how to be remunerated. The fact that the regulator is trying to converge the remuneration, the different grids, gas, transmission, electricity, etc., in a similar manner. So all those things makes to me already that we are moving back a situation rational. Saying that, and I would like to insist that we have a very ambitious plan of electrification in the country for achieving the target of 2030 at 74% renewables, and that requires a certain level of incentives, and that is what I was trying to say. I think positive in the fact that they're giving predictability, positive in the fact that they're already using international standards for defining how the remuneration have to be, but I think it's, my point is that they have to put some kind of incentives, as they did in another grids in the past, for trying to accelerate the investment in the electrification of the economy, for deployment of the electric vehicles, for the deployment of more grids, for reinforcing the grids for cooling and heating in the houses, and for the transformation of the economy into more electrified. So that makes all together with makes to me that I'm positive, but I think I feel there have to be already something more make. In terms of our accounts, we are always very conservative. In the numbers we put in our plan, I think the numbers we have been published is no different than those one has been already announced a few months ago. So, which I think, for those which are already surprised now about that, I don't know what they're surprised, because it was already said. So in the meantime, I think all we have negotiating, trying to make the things in a manner would be the minimum impact in our accounts. So I think in our accounts, practically in our projection, we are taking into consideration this projection, which that means is going to be affected in our plans. Saying that, I insist that is not enough attractive for making the investment that the country requires for achieving the carbon target the country has.
Next question comes from Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, and is related to Avangrid. Avangrid has downgraded the guidance once again. Could you please detail the reasons behind and managerial actions, if any, to improve performance there?
So I imagine that today this afternoon, they are going to explain more in detail those things. As far as I know, there are two reasons, which is no different than those ones which have been affecting the first quarter, which is a lack of wind, and certain minor storms, and both things are already is less production in wind and more minor storm, which is going to P&L, and that both things are already affecting this one. As far as I know, for the second half of the year, they are going to put in operation more power, something like 750 new megawatts, which they are going to produce, they are going to help already in the production. They are already a very ambitious plan on cost cutting, which I think they would like to improve all those things. And probably they are already looking on the opportunities of certain asset rotation would help as well to the P&L. But I think probably this afternoon, Jim Torgerson can already provide much more detail on those ones. But I think action is taken, changing is taken in the company, new people is being reinforced and implemented, and action in terms of cost-cutting efficiencies are already in place.
Next question comes from James Brand, Deutsche Bank, and is related to the Spanish deregulated, so the liberalized business had an extremely strong increase, albeit with the LNG gain temporarily 7% generation tax cut and poor hydro one-off in nature. To what extent is there a sustainable underlying improvement in the business?
Yeah. So, I think we will try to do our best. So I think the result is, as I mentioned, the LNG is one of, with particle has been applied for some efficiency measures we have been taking. And the thing here is linked more to our capabilities in terms of production. So how is our thermic production, nuclear production, etc., and how efficient are we already in terms of cost to serve, in terms of customized product and services, in terms of exploiting our competitive advantage to use the multiple channels, etc., etc. That is going to change. Our cost of sales is going to continue to diminish. Our customized products and services, we are continually generating new ideas. The channels of distribution continues already improving. Customer service is excellent, and we are trying to improve even better. That's one. So, and all those things are already the competitive advantage. But what is going to happen in the future? So we will try to use all these competitive advantages. But certain, the result is not only as consequence of one particular thing, which is LNG. Is that helps, but I think most of it, as I mentioned, has been already used for another efficiencies, for already for some cost cutting, which is going to produce efficiencies in the future.
Question number 7 comes from Harry Whiteburn from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please, can you quantify the projected impact of weak hydro on full year results 2019? In other words, how much of a benefit should be expected if hydro normalizes in 2020?
So I think in the first half, the numbers, correct me, Paco, is 120, 130 million impacted. So I think that is more or less the first half. We are expecting that is reflected in the accounts. We expect in the second half of the year the situation normalize. So I think it's a normal year. The normal year production is on the range of between 12 and 13 megawatt hours. And this year we have already had some means. In half year have to be something like half of that one, so which is 6, 7, and we are already on the range of 5. So we are missing 2.5 production. Then we considering the needs lost in the whole year, but I think we consider the rest of the year is going to be already in the normal conditions.
Next question comes from Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital. Is it possible to provide the EBITDA breakdown between wind and hydro in Spain?
Well, I don't know the detail now, but I think we can already provide yourself. If Ignacio, you can already send this information. I know the information detail here in this moment.
Okay. Next question, number 9, comes from Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, Harry Wyburn, Bank of America Merrill Lynch, Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, Stefano Bezzato, Credit Suisse, and James Brandt, Deutsche Bank. There was a news today on Spanish press about a potential sale of wind offshore assets. Can you comment on it?
Well, I think we have already said several times that, and we are doing, then we have certain asset rotation. I think it's not the first time. Then we has already a stake, we sell minority stakes. In many cases, we have already joint ventures with another ones, and we've been for years saying that we are not already a company with we own only 100% of all those things. I think from the very beginning, most of our onshore wind farm has been made already in cooperation with other people, and we have several of those which are in cooperation with another one. An example is West of Dadon Sands. West of Dadon Sands, it's a joint venture with Ørsted, so which I think is that is part of our traditional culture. So probably, I think in the future we will make already some potential minority investment in certain of the assets, onshore, offshore, or others, what we consider that is a good solution for the company. So I think that is something which can already happen, but I think it's part of our normal or the strategy or the rotation and sharing participation of our project with another people.
Question number 10 comes from Arthur Sitbon, Morgan Stanley, and Javier Garrido, JP Morgan. Could you provide us with an update on the Vineyard offshore wind project? Is it at risk of not moving forward given the delays in permitting? Could commissioning be delayed?
Well, I think I mentioned several times that in the last presentation I was presenting the difference between photovoltaic and offshore, etc. Offshore is a very complicated thing. It's something which is already required a lot of talent, a lot of skills, a lot of people who are very well prepared, because we have to touch a lot of different areas, and as well require dozens of permits. So probably Vineyard requires something like 20, 25 permits before you are allowed to start construction. So during this process of these 15, 20 or 25 permits, I think it's a continuous negotiation with all the authorities involved. And I think in some cases they accept our proposal, in some cases we have to renegotiate the proposal. That is the actual case, which I think I don't know the detail, but probably they are already requesting certain changes or modifications on the project we have already presented. I think if the modifications are minor, that will not affect to the schedule of the project. If the modification are major, in that case, can already make certain delays. Delays we can already, in case that happen, can be already used for improvement as well in the project. We can already allow us to put already the latest knowledge and technologies, which are already, that is a very alive technology. So every 6 months appearing new updates, which makes already the turbines more efficient. So probably we can already, in case that will be needed, we can use already for reanalyze our original project, trying to implement with the latest achievement in the technology. So, but I think that is a normal process. So in 20, 25 permits, we have a continuous discuss and negotiation with the authorities and the organization involved, trying already to adjust the project to those one who will fit the interests of everybody. But I think it's nothing different of those one which is already happening in all the projects we are making in this area, with another ones. I think we make a project, our project is have to pass several approval, and in each of those one is a continuous negotiation and discussion with the people involved, and we make already adjustment. There are adjustment which has not impact in the schedule of the project. There are some one which are, they can already have some impact. If there are some impact, we use this period for looking and revising again the project and to adjust the project to the new technologies or the new fundings to be already implemented to try to improve the efficiency.
Next question 11 comes from Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs. Do you worry about the 200 gigawatts of renewables pipeline in Spain and its impact on the power prices?
Well, I think I doubt that is going to be built. So I think that is permits. I think the fact the regulator and the government is already trying to put some conditions in order that the power will be already more in line with what is needed. But I think if people are ready to throw away their money, they can do that. I think it's not. I think everybody is free to take the money by the window. So, but I think it's the plan fits the needs needed, something like 60,000-70,000 megawatts for supplying to this country. Those ones which are, they would like to make already nice things to show that they are already another thing, so it's fine. So, but I don't think that is going to be made in this basis.
Next question comes from Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, and is related to a possible strategy of Iberdrola related to build to sell in terms of renewables due to the kind appetite or the appetite that is in this moment in the market.
I already replied this point. I think we feel that we are already good sides. I think we have a tremendous, very large team of people which is allowed to look for the best sites. We have already a long experience in designing and building and operating, and we have already good access to financial markets. So I think all those things make ourselves that there are things which we are interested to keep, we will keep. If we are interested to share part of it with third parties, if the price they are paying is reasonable, we do. If there are things which we feel that is better to be sold, we will sell. I think that is the case what we did last year in the United States, and probably we will continue doing in the future.
Okay, the last two questions come from Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, and Harry Wyburd to the Bank of America Merrill Lynch, and is related to M&A. The first one is some comments on news about the potential interest of EDP assets, and what has happened to the Electricity North West in the UK sale process, and is this still of interest to Iberdrola?
Well, as I mentioned several times, we have already a team of people led by Pedro Azagra, which his function is to look and analyze whatever opportunities are worldwide. So I think that's the case of these two that you are mentioning, so which is ADP's assets, is what you mentioned, Electricity Northwest, et cetera, et cetera. So I think they will analyze, they will make already, when they make analyze those things, they will come to us with a proposal if that fits our criteria of investment, and we will take or we will not take the decision. But I think for the time being, our people of M&A is already making the job, which is looking, analyzing, and making the numbers for already providing just the necessary information for those who do have to take the decision to be duly informed to take the decision in the interest of the company, in line with the rules that the board has already defined for these sort of deals.
Okay, with the answer to the last question, please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
So, thank you very much for attending this meeting once again. I think it's, we are, as I mentioned to you, working with all our investor team to prepare already all the necessary details for our next investor day, and we can explain certain of the things you've been asking today. But I think if you have any information that has not been enough provided during this presentation, Ignacio and his team will be ready to give as much information as you require. So, meantime, I think I hope most of you go on holidays, so we too. So, and I wish you a good summer, and we will meet ourselves again in the coming months. So thank you very much, and have a good summer break. Thank you.